Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of the journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya website. So now let's get to today's guest. Today I have with me Jared, and this episode is going to be a little bit different. Usually my guests are those who have made it to the other side of Lyme, and that's not quite the case yet with Jared. So the reason I'm bringing him on to the show today is because this podcast, if nothing else, is going to be full of so much hope. Jared was diagnosed with ALS. And as many of us know, that is a hopeless disease. And he discovered that he has Lyme disease. And so now that he is treating Lyme disease, he is getting better. And it just truly, like, sorry, I'm already getting choked up about it because there's so many people out there that are accepting a hopeless diagnosis without proper testing of Lyme. So that is why I'm doing this episode today. So Jared, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm sure that this can't be easy for you. You're still in the midst of your journey, but I know, like myself, you really just want to spread the awareness about this, that we don't have to become our diagnosis, especially when it's a hopeless one. So thank you for taking the time to join me.
Well, thank you for having me. And you hit it on the head in terms of I spent 2 to 3 months in complete hopelessness. And I was just thankful for where there was things I found online, people on Facebook just pointing me in the direction of Lyme. And I spent countless hours looking into it, researching it, and finally getting hope and kind of snowballing the hope is the one thing that I am eternally grateful for. And if if I can pass that on in any way, then I feel blessed to be able to do that. So really, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Gosh, I guess I already need the tissue out, probably. I apologize. Let's start from the beginning, I guess. I don't know how many times you've been diagnosed with ALS, but let's just kind of go to the beginning of your journey, like maybe some of the symptoms of things that were starting to happen, and then kind of your paper trail through the medical system.
I will tell you, I remember the exact tick bite, and it was in 2019. And at that time, I didn't know what Lyme disease was. I mean, I was completely ignorant. I remember, actually, it was in the back of my head, and I just yanked that thing off. And I didn't think anything of it. I might have looked at that tick for, a couple seconds on my finger, and then was like, let's go, let's do what we got to do today, type of deal. And it was actually a few weeks later that I got sick, sicker than I've ever been in my life. I don't go to doctors, but after a couple weeks of being sick, I finally had to go. They had no clue, I mean, they tested me for flu, they tested me for, I think it was pneumonia. I was negative. And they sent me home. If I remember right, the first time, because I went twice, the first time I think they sent me home with a Z pack. And then a couple of weeks later, I wasn't better. And they still couldn't figure it out. So they gave me a steroid shot. And that's when I finally started feeling a little bit better. But I
So,
didn't.
did any of this go back to the tick bite, right? Like, did you
Well,
correlate it to, okay, well, I got really sick after I bought got that tick bite, or you had mentioned that you didn't really know anything about Lyme. Neither did I. I mean, I got a bullseye rash, which is your telltale sign, and I didn't know what a bullseye rash meant. So, we don't know what we don't know. So I'm assuming that you had no correlation. You didn't go to the doctor saying I have the flu, but by the way, I just pulled a tick off of me.
exactly. I didn't say anything to him about the tick. I didn't think about the tick. I mean, 30 minutes after that, after I pulled it out of my head, I never,
That was it.
they never tested me, never asked me anything, obviously. And so, I finally started getting a little better. And it's probably a year later when I first noticed my first little twitches. Little ones, like I couldn't even feel them. I was just laying in bed and I just kind of noticed them. Maybe I'd look over at my wife and I noticed them in my shoulders and stuff. And didn't have a clue what to even think. I mean, this went on. They just slowly got worse and worse. Slowly got, I started noticing them in my neck. I started noticing them in my arms. And it was about a year and a half. That was okay. I'm gonna have to go start seeing what's going on, because by that time I started noticing, it was like, why in the world can I only do 5 push-ups? And then maybe a couple months later it was like, okay, why am I only able to do girl push-ups? And so I was like, okay, something not good is going on. And so I started seeing doctors in August of 2023. Went to endocrinologist, went to a neurosurgeon. The neurosurgeon is the first one that used the word ALS. I still remember the drive home from his office, and there was some pretty bad words coming out of my mouth, talking about this guy is ridiculous. He has no clue, but he had done an EMG. And he referred me to a neurologist, and of course that's when I started scheduling dates with them. But I wound up having two neurologists, and this was in 2023. Two neurologists gave me a diagnosis of ALS. Obviously, I had to go do an MRI and stuff so they could rule out other things. But after I did those MRIs, they invited me into my first ALS clinic, which is basically you see about, I don't know, seven or eight different doctors, and one's a nutritionist, one's a functional type of doctor, I guess, a physical therapist, all these different doctors just to talk to you and see what's going on. So that was all in 2023. Again, I did not know what Lyme was, but it was at that point that I started seeing things, videos online of people having the twitches, and saying this is what their Lyme does to them, talking about how exhausted they were, talking about things like night sweats. And so there were some symptoms that I would bring up to the neurologist, like night sweats. I remember one time I woke up and you just thought I peed myself in the bed. It was so wet. And I'd ask the neurologist, why do I have these night sweats? And I mean, it was just no answer. Oh, you probably have something else also going on. And I didn't like the answers, basically. And I just kind of kept slowly going down that Lyme route. And was very fortunate to find an LLMD, or a Lyme literate medical doctor that I could go see and do some proper testing. And I did, let me just say, I did have a test that I talked my general practitioner, I talked them into giving me a Lyme test. And they said, well, you're negative for Lyme. And that was like 1 or 2 weeks before I got the ALS diagnosis.
Wow. Yeah. And that's, as we know, that's the problem with this general testing through our primary care doctors is that these tests are not designed to pick up these chronic infections. They're really not even designed. I mean, they were designed for something else many years ago. Whole nother podcast, right? But the thing is that you mentioned it to them, right? And then they're just kind of, we notice in the community that when we bring up Lyme, like we just don't want to. You know, I know in many times I had to end up in the ER and I just would not even say the word Lyme because then they totally treat you differently, which is unfortunate, right? But that's kind of
Well,
how it goes, unfortunately. But the thing I want to point out to you is that you were researching or looking on Facebook or social media, and it was these posts of people posting their symptoms of Lyme disease and the things that they're going through that really kind of connected the dots for you. And this is why I want to shout out again. We've got to share our voices out there. You never know who might be listening, and you never know who needs to hear what you have to say. So we can't be silent and sit on the sidelines anymore. We've got to share our voices so that people like you, Jared, can see these things and be okay, maybe there's something to this, right? And lead you from a hopeless diagnosis to a diagnosis full of hope, right? It doesn't mean it's an easy journey because we all know it's not. But it's a journey worth fighting for because there's light at the end of the tunnel.
I can't remember the exact website, but there was a forum, and it's these different diagnoses or whether it be I think there was a group for ALS, there was a group for MS, there was a group for all kind of diabetes, cancer, all this stuff, right? And then there's this Lyme group. And the Lyme group has like 10 times as many members as all the other deals. So it was kind of a place for some of these Lyme patients to kind of share information. And so I just started reading what they were experiencing, their symptoms, the things that were going on with them. And everything just check the box, check the box, check the box. And so, I just kind of started asking them questions, and just them being willing to share and, not tell me that I had Lyme, but tell me, hey, go get this checked out. Go look into this. I know it sounds a little bit, not necessarily crazy, but something we don't necessarily believe right away because we're so tied into the healthcare industry and insurance and letting them decide what's going on with us that them just telling me, hey, go get this specialized test, go get this, go see a doctor that knows about Lyme. Don't rely on a doctor that has never treated somebody for Lyme tell you that you don't have Lyme disease. Find a doctor that had treated people with Lyme and go find out from them, what they think.
Right. And it's all about the proper testing, right? Because you were tested and said you didn't have it. And so for a lot of people, they just move on about it, right? Like, okay, so I don't have Lyme disease. And it's really hard to convince, right? I don't like using that word, but to convince people that they've got to get accurate testing. And there are many labs out there. There are specific ones I recommend, Igenix, Armin Labs, Galaxy Diagnostics, and then the new at-home testing through Devora Health, which utilizes Armin Labs. Like those are the trusted ones that I recommend. There's some other good ones out there as well, but it truly is we need to get proper testing in order to rule it out. So I'm so glad that you found that group and those people were sharing that information with you for you to be your own advocate, right? To go out and figure out, is there really something else going on with me? And that's exactly what you did. So happy and so proud of you for doing that. So, how did you get this Lyme diagnosis? Were you gradually getting worse? I know you had mentioned you were at, the ALS clinic and you had quit there, but You had told just before the show, you had mentioned, the treatment center you were at for ALS. They kind of grade you, I guess, based on different skills and things that they have you, do while you're at the clinic. And you had mentioned that your scores were going down when you felt you were having improvements. So can you walk us through a little bit of that? Because it almost sounds like they were trying to continue to gaslight you into believing that you have ALS. And whether you look like you're getting better, that's not what happens with ALS. So your numbers just automatically get lower. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me, and that sounds a little crazy.
Right. And one of and probably now that I look back on it, it was probably a good thing. But something that really frustrated me at the time is the day before, or maybe it was the week before, I don't remember exactly, but before I got the ALS diagnosis, I had smoked some ribs, and I could not hold the knife. And this was a tender rack of ribs. I could not cut through the ribs. And then it's like a week later, I get the ALS diagnosis. It makes complete sense, with what's going on. I fit all the boxes on that, the symptom wise. And it was, well, then, okay, so then I got the ALS diagnosis. Then about a month later, I had my first clinic. And they give you a score. And, they ask you all these questions. One of them you get about, your daily cooking, what can you do? And I got 4 out of 4 scored, a score out of 4 out of 4. Well, then 5 months later, I come back to the clinic, and I'm able to cut up potatoes, raw potatoes, by the way, cut up vegetables. Not saying it's perfectly fine, but I can do it, right?
Right.
And they give me a score of 3 out of 4 on my cooking score. And I'm like, wait, why did the score go down? And they're like, well, that's just how it works. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. I understand I'm not 100%, but if I got better and before I couldn't do as much and I got 4 out of 4, why am I getting a 3 out of 4 now? And that really frustrated me. And so it was after that I said, okay, I'm not coming back here because nothing that y'all are doing makes sense to me. And I mean, I had other things that I was like, I just felt like I would ask him. You mentioned earlier, excuse me, you mentioned earlier about how, we have to kind of be our own advocate, and we don't even want to mention the word Lyme when we go see these doctors, if we go to the hospital. Well, I had read that, and so when I'm talking to my neurologist, I would tell him, well, could I have an infection? I wouldn't use the word Lyme because I didn't want them just to dismiss me or, roll
Right.
their eyes or whatever. And I had to, try and ask things in a way that wasn't Lyme. And they would literally ignore me. Like, I would ask them a question, they'd look up, and they'd just go right back to the computer and start writing notes. And I was just like, okay, you guys aren't really doing anything for me. I already tried to take your pill, right? They give you one prescription. A week after taking that pill, I was so much worse. I could hardly walk around the outside of my house without being ex completely exhausted. And before I started taking that pill, I was still running and jogging and exercising. And so it was after that second clinic, I was like, okay, I'm not ever coming back here.
Wow. Yeah, that is. And kind of hindsight, it's maybe that was a blessing, right? That you got that lower score because that's what kind of really got you frustrated. And you're like, nah, I need to seek out, other things. So I don't know where I want to go into. Let's actually take a minute to, at your worst, right? Having ALS is your diagnosis. At your worst, what were some of your symptoms? What were your limitations? What weren't you able to do? Kind of give us a background of that.
Yeah, so definitely my upper body has been the most affected. I kind of mentioned how it was just hard to hold utensils, hard to cut things, lifting, even just putting my arms up above my head, whether I'm lifting anything or not, extremely difficult. Any grip strength, doing dishes or something, I'd have to really concentrate and kind of hold things differently so I didn't drop them. And the twitches were crazy. I mean, I was twitching all over. I definitely would have swallowing issues. I got to where I could swallow like one pill, maybe two pills at a time. My voice, and I still have bad times. I like say bad like hours. It is such a weird deal because I might wake up and for 2 hours I might have a struggle with maybe my words or struggle with even breathing or something, just having air hunger. But then a few hours later everything's fine now. And so I was just it was just things would hit me. And then it was like I could find some relief later on. But at my worst, I mean, everything upper body wise was just extremely hard to do. My
Okay.
coordination, if I wanted to go hit a light, I'd have to turn my body and really concentrate on pushing the light switch. Everything was real tense, like everything was real tight. And my legs would definitely get tired, but I was always very strong in my legs. I mean, my legs were not affected near as much.
As your upper body was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you did experience that hard to swallow, but you never got to the point where you couldn't eat on your own.
No, I could always eat on my own. But definitely, and I'm kind of a big guy. I'm 6'4". I was usually around 240 pounds my whole life. But I could swallow a dozen pills at one time. It was no problem. I got down to like one or two pills, and I had to concentrate to be able to swallow them.
Wow. Wow. All right. So that's at your worst. This is a few years ago, right? And so do you recall what testing you had done to get the accurate diagnosis? Was it through Igenix or, and if you don't remember, that's fine too.
I actually did the Vibrant 2.0.
You did Vibrant. Okay. And a lot of people do Vibrant. I think Vibrant is fabulous with Borrelia. For Lyme, I'm not super confident in their co-infections is why they're not on my recommended list, but I've heard great things about them and a lot of people use them. So you did the Vibrant and you get what came back? Lyme, did you have co-infections? What did it look like?
I had Lyme, Bartonella, Babesia, and Rickettsia were my main tick-borne diseases, and then I had a slew of different viruses that, were active. Viruses like EBV that I probably had all my life.
Yeah. That's why my podcast is Lyme and Beyond, because it's not just the co-infections and Lyme, it's the EBV, it's the Candida, it's the parasites, it's the you name it, right? There's so many mast cell, so many things that go along with it. So yeah, so you're an overachiever, Jared. Great job. You decided to get all of these things.
My Vibrant test lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean,
But
red, yellow, green, all over.
there was no denying what you have. Yeah. Wow. So then did you have to seek outside of traditional Western medicine to get this test done and then to find a practitioner to help you?
Yeah, but I was very fortunate in terms of I found a Lyme literate doctor only about 45 minutes away.
Oh, that's fabulous.
In the state of Texas, there might be, I mean, half a dozen probably. So very fortunate that she was right up the road. I actually went up there really because I'd seen some other ALS patients that have tried different things, not necessarily the Lyme route, but they did the ozone, they did things like oxygen therapy, whether that be hyperbaric chamber, or for me, I do exercise with oxygen therapy or EWAT.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah, I did an episode on that.
Yeah, so they offered things, and I went that way, and then while I'm there, and again, I'd kind of walked down the Lyme trail, but I hadn't like fully committed at that time. And of course, then they offered to test me through Vibrant, and was able to get a Lyme diagnosis, through them.
I'm so thankful that you were. So then, can you walk us through a little bit about kind of like your mindset and where your emotions were? I know that, getting a diagnosis of ALS has got to be just absolutely devastating, right? And there's many in the community that are so quick to accept that diagnosis, right? And then there's people like yourself that get curious, think outside the box, try to make a hopeless situation more hopeful. And that's what you did. And that's how you got your diagnosis. But was there, what went through your mind or what were your feelings like trying to make that transition from there's no light at the end of the tunnel to, oh my gosh, like I could get my life back?
I mean, and mentally, like I spent basically 2 months in complete hopelessness. I mean, the littlest things would just cause me to start, getting upset, crying. Spent tons of time crying, and I mean, that hopelessness, that feeling of dread is something. Maybe it's good, but it's something I'll never forget. It is, I mean, the worst feeling. And I spent about 2 months before that Vibrant test came back, and I saw that I was positive for Lyme disease. And it's not like, it just switched on with hope, but man, I committed to finding that hope down that path. And it probably took, I mean, about 6 months of treating, and I would tell people, yeah, I got Lyme disease. Yeah, I'm gonna beat this thing or whatever. But it took a good 6 months before I really truly believed it. And I mean, I can't tell you how thankful I am for whatever it was in me that's just said, that's the path you're going down. That's the way we're gonna handle this thing. And of course now here I am a little over 2 years later, and I couldn't be more thrilled with the direction that it's going.
That truly is amazing. But yeah, I could imagine that you can't just, turn the switch in your brain like, oh, okay, this is what I have. So I'm assuming maybe you had to, obviously talk yourself into it, right? Continuously say you're going to do this, but then you're really not kind of believing it. But did it take maybe seeing some improvements once you started Lyme treatment for it to really, maybe was that kind of what kicked it in to where you really got on board?
Yeah, so when I first started treating, things still got worse. I mean, like I said, my legs were really never affected, but about 3 months into treatment, I started having some pretty serious balance issues. I would run into the wall a lot, just trying to walk around a corner, and I'd hit that corner. Just walking down a hallway, I'd kind of bump into the wall. And my hands were still getting worse, but about 6 months into treatment, I did do some IV ceftriaxone for 4 weeks, and we paired that with phosphatidylcholine, I think was the name of it, another IV that's supposed to help the cell membranes. And it was about 2 weeks after that protocol that I just noticed everything was looser. Like I said before that, like everything I'm tight. I mean, like if I wanted to just bend over and grab something, I'd have to squat my legs. I couldn't. It was just different. It's hard to explain. Again, like if I had a light switch over here, I couldn't just go and hit it. I'd have to turn and I had to concentrate on trying to touch it. And all that went away. And of course, once that went away, I knew that, this was the path. And it wasn't like all my strength just came back. I have
Right.
strength, but that has definitely been like pure strength has been the hardest thing to recover. But energy wise, I had so much more energy than before. So yeah, I mean, it was just kind of after that protocol that I was like, okay, we're on the right path. And nothing at that point was going to get me off.
Good for you. Yeah, and I'm glad that you shared that once you started treatment, you got worse for, up to possibly 6 months, because I think that's the part that can be scary and overwhelming for some of those that are still trying to convince themselves that they don't have ALS, right? But when they're not seeing improvements and seeing more decline with starting Lyme disease, I could absolutely see why we would still want to be stuck on that ALS diagnosis because, well, here are my symptoms. I'm getting worse, but I'm treating Lyme and not getting better. It's not an overnight thing, right? Like you've had some serious neurological damage go on in your body in order to even get an ALS diagnosis, right? So you have a lot of repair to do, and oftentimes we get worse before we get better.
Yeah, I mean, I had been told that, and I knew that that was, a real possibility. But obviously, just going through it, I mean, you're already kind of at a point where, your body won't do things that you want, and now it's even getting worse, and you are spending a good bit of money, and it's a frustrating process, but all I can say is that I am so thankful that I stuck with it. And we have this debate all the time about antibiotics. I'll be the first to say that I want to get off of them as fast as I can because I think for me to have true full healing, I'm gonna need to be able to get off of them. And I actually did get off of them about 4 weeks ago. I've been orally on antibiotics for, I guess, about 27 months now. And this is just my next phase right now. I've been off of them for about 4 weeks, and it's again, I'll have hours during the day where I'm like, oh man, this is harder to do, or man, my muscle fatigue is sure coming on strong right now, but I just kind of keep pressing, and later in the day or next day, I'll be shocked at what I can do and how much stronger I am.
Wow. Yeah, that is crazy. So you've been on antibiotics. You've been off of the IV for about 4 weeks, you said.
So I've been off of oral antibiotics for about 4 weeks. I only did IV antibiotics back in 2024, I believe it was, for 4 weeks.
Okay. So then after that, my apologies. Okay. So after that, you've been orally taking antibiotics, but the last 4 weeks, you have not taken any antibiotics.
Exactly.
And
Now,
so, can you tell me two things? One, what are you taking instead of? And then two, have you noticed a big difference in the last 4 weeks, good or bad?
Well, first of all, when I, I've done way more than just antibiotics. During the whole time I've been on herbals, I've been doing some ozone. I do the exercise with oxygen therapy. I actually bought a deal for so I can do that at home, which
Oh,
is
you
awesome.
did. Okay,
Yeah.
great.
So
Great.
I can do that whenever I want. I've done, I don't know if you've heard of DMSO. I've done,
Yes.
all kinds of things. I just kind of stalk some of these Lyme patients online and I see what they're doing and I try it. Sometimes I, continue it. Sometimes I do it for a few weeks and get off of it. But so the last 4 weeks since I got off the antibiotics, I'm not noticing anything major. Again, I'll have times where I'll be like, dang it, this seems a little harder for me to grab or something. But then, a few hours later, everything is my new normal, right? It doesn't seem weaker. I still have great amount of energy. I mean, just today we did a I own a small business where we do decorative concrete, and we did 1,500 square feet of epoxy this morning. And I mean, it's a lot of labor,
That's
and
hard work, yeah.
yeah, and I mean, I'm still I have energy. I might have more energy than I had, 5 years ago before I even had an ALS diagnosis. It's kind of crazy.
Wow. So 2 years ago, could you have, when you first got your diagnosis, could you have done what you just did today?
No, not at all. I mean, I would go to the job site sometimes, and I mean, I was very fortunate because I had a crew that could do the work, but I could not open up buckets. Like buckets of product, could not open them up. I mean, I couldn't do much of anything. I could pretty much stand there and tell them, "Hey, you guys gotta do this. You gotta make sure you do that." But now I'm back at it. I'm not as fast as I probably was. But we did, it's hard to understand. Obviously you don't do it, but we did 1,500 square feet of epoxy in 4 hours today. If my guys were there doing it by themselves, they'd have taken all day. It'd have been at least 8 hours, So,
Wow,
yeah,
that
we,
is huge, Jared.
Yeah. Oh, it's
Oh my gosh.
miles, because it is so exciting to be able to do things you couldn't do, obviously.
Right, or thought that you would never be able to do again.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you. That's just incredible. But it's not an easy journey, right? Like it's that there's a lot of emotions involved, a lot of mindset, a lot of, is this really what it is? Am I going to go with this? But I think that so much of our healing comes from our mindset, right? Like our mindset is really powerful. And you had mentioned earlier, it took you a little bit of time to kind of get on, and you probably had to see at least one little improvement to really, really lock in that, okay, this is really what I have, right? Let's move forward with this. But I mean, from where you are when you got diagnosed twice with ALS to where you are now, incredible,
Yeah,
incredible.
it's obviously it's night and day, and I've always been, I guess, someone that I'm just gonna I've always been independent, and I'm just gonna go do whatever I feel like I need to do, regardless of what anybody thinks. And I actually I have my small business. But I do realize that this epoxy and some of the things that I'm dealing with, these chemicals, they're not good for my health. So I actually went, I got two teacher certifications in the last 2 months. I got a job that I'll be coaching and teaching this August. So, it's For me to be able to do that, and I was having cognitive issues. I can remember back before the ALS diagnosis, my youngest son was like, "Dad, why does it take you so long to answer my questions?" What he asked me things, and like it would just take a while to to try and focus on what he just asked me. And I'd be like, "Dude, you're asking me dumb questions," But I mean, I had some, call it brain fog or whatever. But I had to study for these hard tests, and I was shocked at how well I did on them. And again, that's just something else that I could not have done 2 years ago.
Wow, that's incredible. And good for you. Yeah, it is really too bad that, your business that you have. Unfortunately, there are a lot of environmental things that can affect our health, right? And some people may not be as affected by them, but when we go through a chronic illness journey like Lyme disease, it really can make us sensitive or more prone to have more issues around these environmental toxins. So I'm happy to hear that you're kind of leaning in a different direction from that, maybe not what your dream path was, right? But and that you were able to actually go through schooling and training and testing to do something else. Like, Jared, this is huge. I know that you know this, but like there is nothing little about this journey and the progress and the milestones that you have made. There just isn't.
No, and obviously it's super exciting. And I actually used to teach and coach before I started doing this. And we had young kids, and it just became hard. It's a long schedule, a lot of hours when you're coaching. And but it really was my dream, so I'm excited. I'm kind of getting back into my dream.
Oh, well, that's wonderful to hear. See, and had you not gotten Lyme disease, you probably wouldn't be going down this path. It's sounds like it's probably going to be one of your blessings along this journey, right? So many of us think that everything about Lyme is bad and negative, and trust me, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it that's negative. There's a lot of it that's bad, but there's also so many blessings that come from this journey. And that's just one of yours, I think.
It is a deal, and again, that's just something else I've had to learn. But perspective, or kind of how you look at it, is a big part of healing. Your mind can take you to the negative, or it can take you to the positive. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I wake up every day with this, a super positive attitude. Because I certainly don't. I get frustrated plenty of times when I wake up, and maybe my body's a little sluggish right away. But yeah, it's all about perspective. I've never enjoyed picking up my kids off the bus as I do after getting an ALS diagnosis and treating mine, and truly appreciating being able to go do that.
I love that. Really, it is a blessing to be able to do things like that. And like you, Jared, I don't think that I was ever one to really take things for granted. Like I was pretty grateful prior to my Lyme journey. But it's interesting that when I'm bedbound and I can't go anywhere, but maybe I can make it out to the back patio and listen to the birds chirping. Like that was huge for me, right? It got me outside of my four walls. I could hear something in nature. When I remember years before getting sick, I might be sitting out on the patio, maybe on the phone, and all these birds are chirping really loud. I'm like, oh my gosh, will these birds shut up? Like I can't hear on the phone, right? Like, so maybe I took that for granted that I had the ability to listen to these birds chirp. So it really does change our whole perspective, and not necessarily in a bad way. So many of them are good ways. And so it's just the things that we learn along our journey. So, my gosh, I could talk to you forever, but I do. Before we end, if there is anybody that is listening to this right now that maybe has been diagnosed with ALS, or maybe has a family member or a loved one that has been diagnosed with ALS, if you could say anything to them, what would it be?
I was very fortunate in terms of having support. When I said, okay, I'm going this Lyme disease route, I definitely had support in that. And so I was very fortunate, but sometimes, and maybe it's not said directly, but you do feel like people don't truly believe, just how devastating Lyme can be or just what it can do. You have doctors, and I'm not in a position where I would put doctors down, but you have a lot of doctors that will tell you that Lyme can't do this or Lyme can't do that, or they're just, the bottom line is they're just kind of ignorant on Lyme, and they'll tell you, oh, 4 weeks of doxycycline and you're good to go. And I would just say that if you're not your own advocate, if you're not willing to, take yourself out of the box that they try to put you in, then you could wind up in a very dark and desperate place, and we're all kind of told or led to believe that insurance, is the, it's so great to have insurance. And don't get me wrong, it is. You go break an arm, it's great to have insurance, but don't allow insurance or doctors that don't know about Lyme or have not treated somebody with Lyme, don't allow them to tell you what's going on with your body. Be open about it and seek out every avenue that is out there. I've been shocked at how many friends that I have kind of reconnected with that are going through health issues, and I mean, some of them 20, 30 years of issues. And well, let's just say that it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Lyme contributed to it. We'll just leave it at that. And it gets complicated because there are more tick-borne diseases than just Lyme, but it is, there are things going on, chronic illnesses that are going on that if you're not getting better and the doctors can't tell you why you have this illness, don't be scared to at least go rule out Lyme with a proper test. And the word proper is big time in that. And you just gotta be your own advocate. You gotta put your foot down sometimes and say, this is what I'm gonna go check out. And you gotta find somebody or a doctor that has treated people with Lyme, not doctors that have not treated people with Lyme. That's the kind of the big one for me.
No, and that's perfect, and absolutely what probably many people need to hear from somebody coming, from somebody like you that has been diagnosed with ALS. And now you went through the desperation, you went through the lost hope, you went through all the emotions, and now you're on the other side battling Lyme disease, right? And you can get well from Lyme. I'm living proof. All my guests are living proof, right? It's not an easy journey, but I'm so happy for you that you took that leap of faith and got curious and got outside the box, so to say, to get this diagnosis and go through treatment. And I, for one, hope that you will honor me with coming back again when you are on the other side of your journey and sharing the full story again with me. So truly, Jared, Thank you so much for taking the time to join me. I'm proud of you. You've got this. You're getting there. Get through those hard moments. Keep that mindset positive. Keep moving forward and just celebrate every single win because you've had a lot of them. So.
Absolutely. And thank you for what you do. And I'm thankful for all of the Lyme advocates out there that share their journey, even though they are doubted way too often.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.